Remember that verse I brought up in Galatians chapter 5, verse 3? Now, Buell's trying to say the Sabbath is still binding. Let's see if he really thinks the Sabbath is still binding. Galatians 5, 3, I testify again to every man that is circumcised, he is a debtor to do the whole law. Now, Sabbath keeping, according to the Old Testament, demanded that the following, that the Israelites do the following. Exodus 20, these verses up here, as you see them, no work. That's the one we're familiar with. But did you know it also said in Exodus 35, verse 3, no fire. Exodus 16, 23, no cooking. Jeremiah 17, no carrying of a burden. Y'all carry burdens like books in the church services on the Sabbath? Exodus 31, breaking the Sabbath was penalized by death. What about the one about no fire, even in sub-zero weather? Do y'all follow that? That's what the Sabbath says. The breaking of the Sabbath was penalized by death. We remember the act, the one I mentioned, I believe it's in Numbers, about the guy picking up sticks who's put to death. You know, are you really, your brethren, are y'all really following the Sabbath, keeping the Sabbath, or are you just picking and choosing? Which one? He's shaking his head yes, but the answer is no. They're not doing these things. It's easy to shake your head yes and not do them. And then, number 14, let's talk about, again, about Galatians 5:3. If you're going to be circumcised, you have to keep the whole law. That would mean, since if you're going to bind circumcision, or if you're going to bind the Sabbath, to be consistent, you're going to have to bind the whole old law. For example, the physical circumcision of male children would still be bound. And Buell said that circumcision was not really required in the Old Testament. It's required by many, many passages of the Old Testament. If you'll notice Genesis 17, verse 10, every male child among you shall be circumcised. That's a command, Buell. Joshua 5, verse 8, if you look at that. Anyway, it was commanded. If Buell is right about the Sabbath, that means we still have to have the physical circumcision of male children today. And if Buell is right about the Sabbath, since this says if you're going to try to bind one law, you have to bind the whole thing, animal sacrifices would still be binding today. Now, Buell says we don't need that because Jesus did it for us, and that's right. But if you're right about the Sabbath, we still have to have animal sacrifices because Galatians 5:3 says if you're going to bind one, you've got to bind them all. And then the Levitical priesthood. He agreed with me that the Levitical priesthood is not for today, but the consistent position is if you're going to bind the Sabbath, Galatians 5:3 teaches you have to bind the whole thing. It is all or nothing. Now look at Galatians 5:3, Jewel. Look at Galatians 5:3. It's teaching all or nothing, isn't it? If you're going to bind circumcision, you're a debtor to do the whole thing. That means if you're going to bind the Sabbath, you've got to do physical circumcision of the male children, animal sacrifices, Levitical priesthood. Now, I'm sure Jewel has a way, and I'm not questioning his motives or anything. He'll have a way to get around this. But still, this is what the Bible teaches. It still stands. It still says that. Galatians 5:3 doesn't change. It doesn't really matter what you say about it. It still teaches what it says. You see what I'm saying? So if you're going to bind one thing, you have to bind the whole thing. And then, Bill spent quite a bit of time on Acts 21. So we better deal with that. In Acts 21, verses 20 through 26, the question is, did Paul keep the old law? First of all, let me just notice this. You remember that they were accusing Paul of teaching Jews to forsake the law of Moses? Or to forsake Moses? Do you think anybody would ever accuse Buell of teaching people to forsake the law of Moses? Nobody would ever accuse Buell of that, would they? But they accused Paul of that, so there must be a difference between you and Paul, because they accused him of telling the Jews to forsake Moses, and you certainly wouldn't do that. Nobody would ever accuse you of that. Second, if this passage supports my opponent's position, then it would mean physical circumcision is still binding today, which he denies. Everybody turn to Acts 21, verse 21. It says, and they are informed of thee, that thou teachest all the Gentiles which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that ye ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. They were accusing Paul of saying you don't have to be circumcised. So according to your reasoning, Buell, that would prove that circumcision is still binding today because they were wrong about their accusation. Because that's one of the things they were falsely accusing him of circumcision. But it would mean that people would still have to be circumcised today, but it would only mean the Jews would have to be circumcised. It would only mean the Jews would have to be circumcised, and by extension, it would mean only the Jews have to keep the Sabbath. Because it goes on to say, in chapter 21, verse 25, specifically that the Gentiles are told to observe no such thing. As such, he was only talking about the Jews. That's what it says in verse 21. They were accusing Paul of teaching the Jews to forsake Moses. Not people that didn't have to be circumcised, but verse 25 says that touching the Gentiles, which believe we have written and concluded that they observed no such thing. So if this were teaching what Buell says, it would prove today that the Jews had to keep the Sabbath, but the Gentiles didn't have to keep the Sabbath. In Acts 21, verse 26, Jewel, Paul was trying to become a Jew to a Jew in order to teach them more effectively, as we read in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 20. Paul did the same with Timothy in Acts 16, verse 3. He had Timothy circumcised, and guess it tells why. It says it was because of the Jews. Not because God's law under the New Testament times taught that Timothy had to be circumcised, but Paul had Timothy circumcised, quote, because of the Jews. Because the Jews, the ones that were Christians, that used to be Jews, had the mistaken idea that people still had to be circumcised. And so since Timothy had been a Jew, at least half, then Paul had him circumcised just to get around that problem. He was trying to become a Jew to the Jew and a Gentile to the Gentile. That's what's going on in Acts 21. Ephesians 2, 14 through 16 teaches Jew and Gentile are now both one because the law was taken away. So if it is not wrong for the Jews, if it is not wrong for the Gentiles, Acts 21, verse 25, it is also not wrong for the Jews. As one of the features of the New Testament law that it applies equally to both Jew and Gentile alike, Galatians 3, 28. But something can be wrong because you just can't bring yourself to practice a new liberty. If you've been keeping the Sabbath all your life and then all of a sudden you're into the new covenant, you probably wouldn't be able to bring yourself to work on Saturday. You see what I'm saying? You just couldn't get used to it. And that's what he's talking about here. These Jews couldn't bring themselves to practice a new liberty. They've been so many years under this old law. And so that's what Acts 21 is talking about. Well, if it's not dual, then you still have circumcision still binding according to Acts 21, verse 21, and the Gentiles don't have to do it according to verse 25. Only the Jews would have to be circumcised. And so if that applies to the Sabbath, the Jews today have to keep the Sabbath and the Gentiles don't. And then he mentioned that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. He said all Scripture is profitable for doctrine. All Scripture is profitable for doctrine. Well, there it is. I'm not going to be able to turn to that right now. Can't turn those pages. All Scripture is profitable for doctrine. Fuel. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. And all Scripture would have included the Old Testament law, certainly back then, and the New Testament were Scriptures too. 2 Peter 3, 16 calls what Peter wrote Scripture. All Scripture is profitable for doctrine. And Fuel, since you worship of the Church of Christ for many years, you'll know that we use the Old Testament in when it comes to doctrine. We don't believe it's our law for today, but when we're teaching doctrine, it helps us learn. But here's Dewell's application of that. All Scripture is profitable for doctrine. And according to him, that means all Scripture, including the Old Testament, is our law today. That's his application. That's what I disagree with, that it's our law for today. I believe it's profitable for doctrine, but that doesn't mean it's our law for today. He's saying it's our law today. Guess what? Does all Scripture include those commands to do animal sacrifices, Deal? Yes or no? Is that in all the Scripture about doing those animal sacrifices back then? What about the one in Genesis 17:10 we read where every male had to be circumcised? Did that come under the heading of all Scripture? What about the Levitical priesthood? That was in the Scripture, wasn't it, Deal? All Scripture. So if you're saying the application of 2 Timothy 3 is that all Scripture, what it says, is profitable for doctrine, that means it's our law for today. That means we still have to be circumcised today. We still have to do animal sacrifices today. We still have to do the Levitical priesthood today. That has to be the conclusion of what you said. I don't think you really believe that. I'm not accusing Dewell of being honest. Dishonest. I'm not accusing him of that. I don't think he really believes his own argument, though. If he really believed his own argument that all Scripture is profitable for doctrine means that all Scripture is our law for today, and that includes the Old Testament, then he'd have to believe that circumcision, the Levitical priesthood, and animal sacrifices are still for today. But he doesn't. That leads me to believe he doesn't really believe his own argument. He's not being dishonest. He's just been deceived. And then he said the law was holy in Romans 7. Of course the law was holy. Let's put up number 7. The law was holy. It accomplished its purpose. There was nothing bad about the law. That's the point. When you're in the middle of talking about how the law is not binding today, somebody's going to say, well, the law of them was just worthless, wasn't it? And Paul is saying, no, the law was holy. It was very valuable. But it doesn't mean the law is still for us today. You pretty much just skipped over what I said about Romans 7. It says, and I didn't write this, it says that we're dead to and delivered from the law. Romans chapter 7, verse 4 and 6. Now, what does that mean? Does it mean the law is unholy? No, the law is still holy and accomplished its purpose. It wasn't bad. It wasn't sinful. But we're dead to and delivered from that law. What about that deal? What does that mean, dead to and delivered from? When you read something that says, we're dead to and delivered from that law, does the first thing come to your mind is, oh, that means we're still obligated to keep that thing. That's not what I think of. What do you think of, Bill? When you read the Bible, when it says, we're dead to and delivered from the law, do you think, oh yeah, that means we're obligated to keep that thing? Or do you think that means, as the definitions of these words say, do you think that means that we're severed from, separated from, discharged from, loose from? As a matter of fact, this same word is translated abolished in Ephesians 2. Liberated from the bond of. What do you think when you think of that, Jill? And then, my friend Jill said that Jesus kept the Sabbath. Now, I don't know if he actually said it. I was taking notes as fast as I could, but I think his application of that is that since Jesus kept the Sabbath, therefore, that means we have to keep the Sabbath. Well, if that wasn't his argument, then it wouldn't prove anything that Jesus kept the Sabbath, unless you were saying, therefore, we must keep the Sabbath. Again, Jewel is honest, but he's been deceived because he doesn't really believe that argument. Here's his argument. Jesus kept the Sabbath, therefore, we must keep the Sabbath. Let's try that out. Jesus was circumcised, Luke 2:21, therefore, we must be circumcised. Jesus taught others to do the animal sacrifices, Luke 5:14. You remember the story where the 10 people who cleansed the leprosy, only one came back, was thankful, and after he said that was good, he basically said, go offer for your cleansing. That was sacrifices. So, if Jesus kept the Sabbath proves we have to keep the Sabbath, then the fact that Jesus taught others to do animal sacrifices would prove we have to do animal sacrifices. Jesus taught others to keep all the law of Moses, which includes circumcision, the animal sacrifices, the Levitical priesthood. So, Bill, that argument won't work. Yes, Jesus had to keep the Sabbath because he lived under that Old Testament law. You know that, Bill. You were taught that. You understand perfectly why Jesus had to keep the Sabbath, and you understand perfectly why that doesn't mean we have to. Because of Hebrews 9, 15 through 17, you've been over this many times, Bill, so you would know. For this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, this is talking about Jesus, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For a testament is, there must also be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Many of you know my mother passed away on November 27th. Hunter, Ben, Pat, and Chris were the beneficiaries of the will. We've been in that will for years, but we have no right to those possessions of my parents until my dad passed away in 2001. We were in the will, but we had no right to those possessions until she died. That's what this is saying. It's an illustration. Like in a will. It doesn't go into effect until after the death of the testator, the person that it pertains to. That's the same way with the New Testament here. Jesus is the mediator of the New Testament. And that testament didn't go into force until after the death of the testator. Jesus. Doesn't that match up with Colossians 2:14-17, which says he blotted out these ordinances at the cross? So the law was still in effect while he lived. It didn't go out of effect until he died and nailed it to the cross. So when the Bible says that Jesus lived perfectly without sin, it's talking about he lived according to the Old Testament law. But that doesn't mean that we have to keep the Sabbath any more than it would mean that we have to be circumcised or keep the people to do animal sacrifice. Let's go back to that Colossians 2. Now, you need to spend a little more time. I'm sorry, you went so fast with a few little words. I don't think anybody but me understood what you were trying to cross in 2:14-17, except me, because I already had studied what you were going to say. But here's what he was going to say. Everybody, what he tried to say, Colossians 2:14-17, everybody just turn to that. Well, I tell you what, I got it up on the chart, and we'll come back to that. Here it is on the chart. It says, Jesus blotted out these ordinances, took them out of the way, nailed them to the cross. Don't let any man judge you with respect to these things. And then he says, but the body is of Christ. And what Jill is saying here, this is talking about the body of Christ, meaning the church. So when he says, let no man therefore judge you with regard to these things, really it should be, let no man therefore judge you but or except the church. That's what Jill was trying to say. He went so fast. I don't know if you understood it. He said, this isn't saying that you're not to judge somebody based on the Sabbath. It's saying no man should judge you except the church on these things. Notice that, alright? Now let's go to 58. What I had it a while ago. And let's examine that. There's where I'm explaining what Jill said about that. Alright? Jill, pay careful attention, and the audience pay careful attention also. Jill, what you did was, is you took the parentheses and move the parentheses to match what you wanted to believe on that or what you were trying to teach. Sorry, I didn't mean to judge your motives there. This is just like the debater who changed the parentheses in 1 Peter 3:21 to say, baptism doth also now save us not. The putting away the filth of the flesh. Now we know it reads, do you? We know it reads, baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, right? But you see, if you move that parenthesis over just a little bit, what you can make it say, that's what the Baptist debater did. Baptism doth also now save us not. Isn't that what you did? That's exactly what you did with Colossians 2. Why do you skip that far away for the but's contrast when it more naturally contrasts what comes right before it, which the body is a Christ contrast with these things are a shadow. Shadow and body are the things that are being contrasted. Shadow and reality. Figure and antitype. Type and antitype. The correct idea is confirmed by the New King James Version, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. It isn't talking about the church here. This is set in contrast to the things that are a shadow. Now, here's how you know for sure that Jill is wrong about this point. Here's how you know for sure. The word therefore, in verse 16, is saying, I won't give you a conclusion based on what I've already said. What he already said is that these laws were blotted out. He's saying, therefore, let no man judge you with respect to these things, including the Sabbath. Now, what makes more sense? Here's what Deal is saying. Jesus blotted out these laws, therefore you should judge people based upon these laws. Or does it make more sense to say, Jesus blotted out these laws, therefore you should not judge people based upon these laws? I think that's very clear. Deal, can you see your position is incorrect on that?
No.
Well, okay, let's look at it again. Let's look at it again very simply. Jesus took this handwriting of ordinances. These are laws ordained by God. He took them out of the way. He blotted them out and nailed them to the cross. And what are some samples of those ordinances? Well, he has the daily, the meat and the drink offerings, the yearly, the holy days, the monthly, the new moon, and the weekly, the Sabbath days. He gives a sampling of them. He gets all the categories, the daily, the weekly, the monthly, and the yearly. These are examples of laws that he blotted out, took out of the way, and nailed to the cross. Now, if somebody were to come up to you on the street and they said, the Sabbath has been blotted out, taken out of the way, and nailed to the cross, would you think that meant we still got to keep the Sabbath or we don't have to keep the Sabbath anymore? Which one? If they said, the Sabbath has been blotted out, nailed to the cross, and taken out of the way. How much time, Tommy?
2 minutes, 10 seconds.
You'll spend a lot of time on the divine name. This debate is not on the divine name. Hold my time, Tommy. Okay. This debate is not on the divine name. I don't know why you brought that up. You could be right as rain on the divine name and have nothing to do with whether or not we keep the Sabbath. But I will say this. The divine name, there's a name for the divine name, and Jill knows it's called the Tetragrammaton. The Tetragrammaton is in the Old Testament a number of times, translated, as many of you know, with a word that starts with a J in the King James Version, he doesn't particularly think that's the right translation. Every single time the New Testament quotes a verse from the Old Testament that has that Tetragrammaton in there, every single time they change it to Lord. The New Testament does not contain God's name not one single time. You can go back to every version, I won't say every version, some people like the Watchtower Society, they change versions. I can't control them. Every Greek manuscript on record, not a single one of them, existing today, has the Tetragrammaton in the New Testament one time. And the Old Testament is quoted many times where God's name, the Tetragrammaton, is in the Old Testament, but every single time in every Greek manuscript, every time, they change it from the God's name to the Lord or something like that, every time. But that's not part of the debate tonight. 31. He said, well, the Gentiles, they had to keep the old law. They could join themselves, and then they had to keep the Sabbath. That's right. You have the people, the Gentiles, that were proselyted or converted to being Jews, you might say, Israelites. They did have to keep the Sabbath. But they are contrasted, the stranger in the gate is contrasted with aliens. Now, these people who were Gentiles that proselyted into the Jewish religion, not only did they have to keep the Sabbath, but they had to offer animal sacrifices. the Gentiles that were brought over to the Jewish religion. They had to be circumcised. They had to do all the works of the law. So these Gentiles that were proselyted into the Jewish religion, not only did they have to keep the Sabbath, but they had to do animal sacrifices and be circumcised. Now, according to your reasoning, Buell, your argument would be that we have to do animal sacrifices for today, and we have to be circumcised today. But then you had the aliens that were not proselyted over. They were never obligated to keep any of these laws. We'll take about a 5 or 10 minute bathroom break right now.